Today on the John Akerberg Show, every parent knows that newborn children are beautiful and a joy to their hearts. But many parents and grandparents struggle to know how to inspire genuine Christian faith in their children or grandchildren as they grow up. God tells us, teach your children to love the Lord your God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength. And teach this to your children when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Mom and Dad are the main models of how their children will learn to live their lives. A Lifeway research study found 43% of church-attending teenagers said the reason they wanted to keep on living for Christ and regularly attending church was because they wanted to follow a parent or family member's example. But how else can you model your own Christian faith each day so that it will impact your children and they will want to follow Jesus when they are older? Today, my two guests are Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, a well-known international speaker and best-selling author, and her daughter, Rachel Ruth Lotz Wright, who teaches an online weekly Bible study. They will share practical ideas and real-life stories from the Graham and Lotz families to show you how you can daily pass on God's truth to your children and grandchildren. Join us for this special edition of the John Akerberg Show. Welcome to our program. I'm John Akerberg, and I got a question for you today. Are there days when you feel sapped of your strength, utterly unable to serve God in the capacity in which He's called you? If that's you, maybe today, all right, we've got two guests that can talk to your situation. One is Ann Graham Lotz, and then we've got our daughter, Rachel Ruth Lotz Wright. And let's start this right off. The fact is, Rachel Ruth, you wrote this chapter because you were sitting in the stands of the Kentucky Arena. I think it was called the Rupp Arena, and there it is. And guess who was speaking on the stage? There she is. And that's what it looked like. And no problem, just talking to all these thousands of people. The reason we are going to tell this story is because maybe you aren't Ann Graham Lotz up there speaking, but the fact is, while she was up there, she was feeling pain. And she was ministering to all of these people. Now, I'd like for you to consider yourself, you've got a crowd of people that are talking to you and meeting you and looking at you. Maybe you go to work and you have coworkers all around you. You're leaving a legacy of how you live with Jesus in front of them, even in the midst of your pain. When you're home with your children, with your husband, and you have pain, and you're leaving a legacy of how you live with that pain. Is there joy? Is there praise in the midst of your pain? Because sometimes it goes every day. I know what that feels like. But we got a reason for telling this story. Okay, it was dear to my heart when I read this story because I felt like this was going to happen to me, what happened to Ann on this one. But I'm not going to let Ann tell the whole story because Rachel Ruth was sitting in the third row over here and she was pregnant. And Morrow, St. Morrow as I call her, because she takes care of her mom all the time. And she has migraines most of the time and there's about nothing that she can eat. So when we go out to the restaurant, I order her carrots and that's about what she gets, okay? I'm just saying she is there as the caretaker and she does a wonderful job. But Rachel Ruth, pick us up here of what's going on in this arena and what scared you to death.
Well, I was huge pregnant at the time. I think it was with my second daughter, Sophia. And so I was sitting with Morrow, and we were kind of up in the part that goes up on the third, you know, row. And so I'm just watching Mom, and when Mom speaks, it's never boring. It's always just like a shotgun. I mean, you know, just...
And listen, I can vouch for that, okay? Look, there's not many people that impress me when they're speaking. I've heard them all. I actually showed up at a convention. I wanted to hear you because I heard that you weren't feeling well, so I was surprised in the first place that you were there. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, how in the world is she going to speak if she's not feeling well? And I know what it's like to speak in front of a big crowd and your strength is drained and you can hardly talk and your voice is kind of weak and all of this kind of stuff, and you wonder if you're going to make it through. So I wanted to hear how you would do. And you knocked me out. You absolutely kept this crowd, which was probably bigger than this. You kept them spellbound. They waited for the next word. If you stopped, they waited for you to say something, okay? And you went right on, and you delivered a fabulous, fabulous talk to them right off the top of your head. And there was a chair sitting behind you because in case you felt like sitting down, the chair was there. So I kept wondering, what's the chair there for? And you finally said, the chair is there in case I get tired. You never got tired. You never sat down in that chair. You just kept on walking back and forth in front of the stage, and you were a fabulous speaker, and you kept the whole thousands of people spellbound. You've done this in India with over 700,000 people as well. That's another story. But the fact is, when you say she's a great speaker, folks, if you ever get a chance to hear this woman in person, I'm telling you, go to hear, because you won't believe it.
Now, okay, John, I have to say, that's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So I remember that time when you heard me, and I was coming off of some severe illness. So it's not that I get tired in the pulpit. I'm just afraid I'm going to pass out because I don't have the strength. But it's the Holy Spirit. And again and again, I've learned to press through. You just keep going, and you can press through those waves of faint feeling. On this particular occasion, I tried, but didn't quite make it.
Tell the story here.
Yeah.
Well, so while I was sitting there and watching my mom, it got to this point where I saw her grip. She has the platform, or the podium is a cross. It's in the shape of a cross.
Yeah.
And she held it, and she stayed still, and she started talking, and then she was like, all right, I got to hold on for a minute. And then all of a sudden, she started to go down. And I mean, the second I saw her start to fall, I've catapulted over at the pole. I mean, I'm pregnant. I didn't even think about it. But and jumped onto the floor with my sister. And then we started to, you know, run towards the stage because someone had already caught her. And she was laying down, and all these people started getting around her. But it was amazing because as we got closer to her, you could hear all the people in the stands praying out loud. So they're all praying for her. And she's laid out on the ground. And when we got over to her, and there was a lot of people around her, they gave her some Coke, you know, I think, and just
when
tried to talk to her.
When they laid me out on the concrete floor, somebody... My jacket came up, so my back was on that cold concrete floor. That's what brought me to.
Yeah. I've got a question here. Is that while you were speaking, were you feeling fainter and fainter?
Yes. And the strength
was going
away? That's why I held onto the cross, and then I could feel myself. But you can press through sometimes, but I couldn't. And I kept hanging onto the cross so that I'd sort of go down gracefully. But I passed out cold, and it was Morrow's husband, trainer, that came up with the security guy, and they were the ones that dragged me off.
You know? Yeah, I liked what Rachel Ruth put in the book, is that she noticed all of a sudden that you stopped, and you
slower.
Said, folks, I think I need to take a minute, and then you collapsed to the floor. Now, that would have been a real showstopper there.
Yeah.
And who caught her?
Well, it was Morrow's, my sister's husband, and this other man that was helping with security. And so while she was going down, the thing that was so sweet is she kept saying, and this man told us, because that's what he heard, he kept hearing her say, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And that was the thought, the last thought that she had before she just blacked out, that she so wanted to give out God's word and so wanted to take care of all these people that had come to hear God's word being spoken, and that's what was on her heart. You know, it wasn't like, oh, this is so embarrassing, I can't believe this is happening. You know, it was none of that.
Let me ask you this. Was that a conscious thought you had?
No, I was hanging onto the podium, but I think I was already pretty much unconscious. But I was just saying that.
Over and over, And did, you know, when you hit the floor, okay, this is a guy that actually did it. Mm-hmm. The fact is, when you hit the floor, that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. You can start your brain bleeding, which leads to brain surgery, okay? So that the one that caught her, did a great service.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, what? You've got all of these people holding their breath. And talk about what they did. Now, you also said something to the song director. What did you tell them?
Well, they, if you can see the platform, it's in the round, and there are three layers. So they had to drag me off the top layer, down the three layers, laid me out on the concourse concrete. And so when I came to, all these people are around, you know, and they're all telling me what to do. Can you see my fingers? Can you see, you know, like that. And just, and so I told somebody, please get me a Coke. And then I said, go get Fernando Ortega, was our worship leader. I said, get Fernando. And have him lead the audience in a song because I didn't want the audience to panic. Yeah. And you could hear the cell phones. They said within, what, like 3 seconds, there were like hundreds of cell phone calls that went to 911.
Yeah, I can just imagine the fact is, you know, 99 guys pulling up with their ambulances in the back, pulling in gurneys to try to take you out of there. And you told them, you're not leaving.
That's right.
What happened?
My sister and I were in shock because Mom said, she's like, I'm getting back up there. I'm not going to not finish this message.
And you said, what?
I know. We were just, we thought it was crazy. And everybody would understand if she had to go home, if she couldn't finish that day. And people would understand and they would all think they would do the same thing in that position. But my mom is not like that. And I think that's the big thing I want to get across is that that when she feels so called to have this ministry, so called to tell people about Jesus, when she gets up and speaks, it's not a performance. It's coming from her heart. It's coming from her love for the Lord, what God's put on her heart to share. And she knew that if she were to leave that platform, she wouldn't be doing what God had called her to do. She would be walking away from her assignment that day. And she got back up and she finished and gave another message that afternoon.
Yeah, well, let's slow this down a little bit, okay? The fact is, she wakes up from being unconscious. She's laying flat on the floor on cold concrete. And the first thing she asks for, somebody get me a Coke with a straw. Okay? So she gets a little sugar in her. And then while people are pulling in the gurneys and saying, we got to take her to the hospital, she says, no, I'm going back up there on that platform to finish this. And I can just imagine all the people saying, you're going to do what? Including your two daughters who were saying, you got to be kidding me. But you had two fellows that basically helped you gently get up to the platform.
Right.
Now, did you sit down on the stool?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you sat
down
on the stool, and now your voice was soft.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? And meanwhile, while all this was going on, the people were singing hymns.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they were praying for you.
Yeah.
So in the midst of that, your daughter's absolutely astonished at what you're doing. You're going back up to that third platform, and you're sitting on the stool, and then quietly everybody kind of sits down, and you speak into the microphone, and what did you say?
I told them I wasn't pregnant. I told them I'd had breakfast that morning, you know, all the things people say. And I told them I felt like it was an attack from the enemy, that he did not want them to hear the rest of this message or the rest of the program that day. And I wasn't going to give in to it. And so then I finished the message, which was on John chapter 21, when Jesus talks to Peter after his failure, you know, and tells him to follow me. And I finished the message. And I actually think at that moment, I didn't feel I had a rapport with them. I felt like on Friday night, Saturday morning, I've been talking behind a glass wall. After that happened, that wall came down. Those people were right with me. We had a huge response to the invitations. And it was like the revival broke out that I've been praying for. But
okay.
It took the pain to do that.
Yeah, okay. So that was session number one. You go back behind the curtains, and did you have a little lunch, something to drink?
I had a conversation with the doctor who told me I was not to go back out and said that it was very dangerous and they didn't know.
Doctors always tell you, you can't go back out there. Okay,
yeah,
so you
I
went
just
back
said,
out.
You know, thank you very much for your care, but we're going to go back out. And I led in a workshop after, yes, I had a bite of lunch. And after that, I led them in a workshop how to read their Bible so they can hear God speaking to them through the pages. And then in the afternoon, I had the third message. I spoke Friday night, a full message, Saturday morning, and then a workshop, and then a message in the afternoon. And the message in the afternoon, the whole purpose is to bring them to a point of surrender. And when they do, they raise a little white flag. It can be a handkerchief, it can be a baby's diaper, it can be a piece of paper, but they it's a flag of surrender, that they're going to surrender to the Lord. And that arena was filled with white flags as Fernando sang, "I Surrender All." It was very powerful.
Unbelievable. All right, now I want you to talk to the people that are listening. There are pastors out there that are ready to quit. There are song leaders out there that are ready to quit because the choirs had COVID and half of them aren't there and they're saying, what's the use? There are people that have had bell choirs that they lost half their bell choir. There are Sunday school teachers where there's three guys, three ladies left and they're saying, why am I showing up on Sunday morning? There are all kinds of Christian workers that are saying, you know, I think it's time for me to retire. I think it's time for me to quit. I can't do this anymore. What do you say to them?
I'll give you a lesson from the cross, because Jesus hanging on the cross in extreme pain, emotional pain and spiritual pain, separation from his Father, physical pain like we would never, you know, understand. And when you think about it, he actually could have taken himself down from the cross. He could have said, I've had enough. I've heard enough. But he endured the cross, even to the point of death, for the joy that was set before him. And the joy was redeeming you and me from our sin. So when you're in a situation, especially ministry, but I think marriage can be a ministry, and you can say, I can't take this anymore. Or with children, and I can't take the rebellion anymore. Or in church, I can't take these stubborn people anymore. Or pastor, I can't take these deacons or elders anymore. You know, and so many times we quit because we say, I can't take it anymore. But listen to me, you're selling yourself short, and you're falling short of experiencing the greatness of your God. If I had quit on that arena floor, I wouldn't have been able to experience the power of God in my life to help me finish out the day and to accomplish the spiritual revival in the hearts of those people that we have been longing for and praying for. And so God has blessing for you, dear friend. He has blessing for you. First Peter says that this fiery trial that's come into your life is for the purpose of producing that patience that we've talked about, and endurance and long-suffering, and all the spiritual characteristics of Jesus. So can I just tell you, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. And if you press through, maybe you're going to collapse. Maybe something will happen and you'll get fired. But the Lord's going to be there for you, and He's going to teach you something of who He is and who He can be in those very hard places. And John, that's my aim in the Christian life. I want to know God. I want to know Him better today than yesterday, better tomorrow than today. And so He lets me go through some really hard things, because it's in those hard places that we discover who He is in reality, His power, His greatness, His strength, His love, His kindness, His tenderness, His sufficiency for every situation that we're in. And I want to know Him like that. I don't want to know Him like people say He might be, or people, you know, secondhand information. I want to know Him myself for who He is by experience as well as through faith
all
in
right.
the Word.
This program goes all over the world, but especially in the United States, Canada, Europe, and, you know, the Orient. And the fact is, I think we have a problem coming up. As we've gone through these two COVID pandemics, the church membership has gone down. People have gotten used to watching their church on TV, and they're not going back to church. They've given up on that. What would you say to them?
I would say that we need fellowship.
You bet.
You know, so that when you can get great teaching online, you know, and I'm thankful because that's where a lot of mine is. So you can get great teaching through television programs and churches that are live streaming, but you miss out on the fellowship and the fellowship. People who come alongside you to pray with you, to encourage you, to love you, to help you through some of those hard times. You miss out on that if you're not in the fellowship of a local body. But can I tell you this? There's so many in our city, a lot of churches closed up, which I don't think they should have, by the way. But then what happened is that they went out in these cells. So we've got a huge Bible study that of guys, workers, truck drivers and whatever, and they meet in a parking deck, pull up their pickup trucks, they meet in the middle of the parking deck, and they're having revival in their Bible study. Or you can have them in homes. And so it's like the early church, actually, in Acts. When they didn't have church buildings where they met, they went house to house. And I almost feel like the COVID pandemic has a silver lining in that God has taken the church, in a sense, out of the organized structure down the street, and He's taking it out into the marketplace where it should be anyway. It's just the important thing is that we're in fellowship, we're in a Bible study, we're in a group, and then look for ways that you can draw your neighbors into a Bible study, because how many of our neighbors are going through this pandemic and they don't know how to handle it? They don't have the hope that they're going to come through. They don't have the strength to manage some of the pressures that they're experiencing with their jobs or with their families, and we have Jesus. So he's given us an opportunity to see outside the walls of our churches. You know, speaking of the organized church, the Church of Jesus Christ is not the building down the street. The church is you and me, the body of Christ, and we are the church. So we need each other for these times, yeah. And we need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together.
We've been providing audio Bibles for people overseas in 45 countries in 150 languages. And 14,800,000 people every week are on the ground or just sitting on wood benches. And they're listening to the Word of God every week. And in 6 months, they go through the whole New Testament. And I say, if you want to meet a real Christian, you're going to have to go overseas now. Yeah. But here's what I want you to pray, because I want you to end this with prayer. There are people out there, pastors, mm-hmm. Sunday school teachers, ushers, church members that say, I want to quit. Mm-hmm. I want you to ask the Lord. Mm-hmm. I want them to pray with you. Mm-hmm. And I'd like you to pray for them, and then I want you to ask them to pray with you to renew their courage. Mm-hmm. To live for the Lord by going to church, by being involved in the church activities that they were involved in before, that they won't quit, mm-hmm. that the spirit of, you know, I'm done, mm-hmm. get rid of that, mm-hmm. okay? Would you pray for them right now?
Yeah. You know, you need to finish your race. We've talked about the relay race, and it's important that you finish. And in one of the earlier Olympics, if I could just take a moment, there was a guy who was doing really well in the semifinals, and I think it was the... Can't remember the wasn't the relay race. It was a race, and he pulled his Achilles, and he went down on the track, and instead of crumbling in a heap, he got up and kept hobbling to the finish line. And this man came out of the stands and came down, and the security tried to push him away, and he said no, put his arm around the kid that was stumbling, and supported him to the finish line. And the man was his father. So I'm going to tell you that your Heavenly Father will come beside you. He'll put his arm around you. He will help you make it to the finish line, but you have to keep going. Don't quit. Don't crumble on the track. So, Father, we just turn to you now. How we need you, and those of us in ministry need you maybe more than others, because the enemy comes after us. So don't let us wimp out before we finish. Don't let us crumble before we pass through that finish tape, Lord. And we're not going to finish until we see you face to face, either at our death or your return. So keep us strong to the finish, we pray, please. And for that, we need Jesus. We need you to fill us. We need you to anoint us. We need you to just take over and give us that fire in our hearts that is shut up in our bones like Jeremiah. We are weary. We can't hold it in. We have to let it out. So I pray, please, that you would raise up people, keep them in the pulpits, keep them in the lecterns, keep them in the center of the Bible studies, keep them in the prayer groups. Lord, cause Jesus' followers themselves to be those who take that baton, run the race to the finish, so that one day when we're presented to you, we see the pleasure on your face and you say, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to be there on that day, Lord, and receive your blessing. And we pray these things for each other and for ourselves in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Folks, you turned into this program for a reason. I think you just heard it. Okay? Next week, we're going to be talking about another topic that we're all going to face. It's called Facing Death with Joy. I wonder if you can do that. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Are you looking forward to going to heaven? We're going to talk about that topic next week. Anne's gone through some experiences that are incredible, where she's gotten close to death, okay? And so I want you to join us. Thanks for joining us for today. Please stay tuned. I got a personal word for you in just a minute.